Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. We thank you for listening. With me today, we have Belinda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. We missed you last week. I'm glad to have you back. It's just the two of us tonight, so I think we'll probably be discussing Rebecca Budig's return, what's going on One Life to Live and General Hospital. I can't wait. This week, I've just been walking on air all week. Cannot help it. My favorite actress is returning to the show. I love her and just cannot wait.
Well, I know that it's generated a lot of talk.
Yes, and things are getting controversial, too.
They are. They are. We've got this. They seem to be breaking up into two camps. I mean, you're very excited and can't wait. And then Sabine Singh, is that how you say her last name? Singh. Well, then, her supporters are just outraged at the way this all came down, and it's just a little Peyton Place, and we're all my children hypocrites, I guess.
Well, I can understand why they're upset. Let's just take a few steps back. For those of you who do not read the blogs and just listen to the podcast, and this may be the first time you're hearing of this, Rebecca Budig, the original portrayer of Greenlee Smythe, is returning to All My Children. And if anybody has been listening to this podcast for very long knows, Greenlee, Rebecca Budig as Greenlee, is one of my all-time favorite actresses / characters. So I have been wanting her return for years. Well, ever since she left, basically.
Well, and you were very outspoken about believing that the role could not be recast.
Oh, yes. To me,
you saw this coming.
Most definitely. To me, Greenlee was a Brenda character. You do not recast Brenda. You do not recast Greenlee. That's just how it is. Now, maybe that's a little bit of the fact that I'm a huge fan of Rebecca Budig. Maybe, there's that bias in there. But to me, there were going to be very few people who could step into the role of into the shoes of Rebecca Budig and be able to aptly fill them and get away with
it.
Because
true.
She was a very popular actress portraying a very popular character who had amazing chemistry with Alicia Minshew. It was like the perfect combination of everything. And so when I first, I wanted her to come back, but then when you heard that she was going to be recast, it was like, no, this is terrible. Because it had nothing to do with the actor or Sabine, because of the simple fact that I didn't want the character recast unless Rebecca came back.
Yeah, so, and that was the consensus of everyone when we heard that they had recast. It was widespread, no, don't do it, it can't be pulled off. And now that Alicia's coming back and Sabine has been fired.
Well, Rebecca's coming back.
Rebecca's coming back. I'm sorry, Alicia is Kendall.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Well, and
I still get my names messed up.
That's okay. That's okay, considering you're a new viewer.
I'm
welcome to those missteps. I mean, I don't know what my excuse is for all the people who I mess up on a continual basis, but we'll use the newer viewer excuse for you.
Well, I had the most embarrassing thing happen, column before last.
Uh-huh.
I called on One Life to Live.
Uh-huh.
I called Vincent Victor in my column like several times. It was so embarrassing. I had to go back and say, okay, I know it's Vincent. He's one of my favorite people,
Well,
it was a little mortifying.
For those of you who are new listeners, you can read Belinda's column at ionsoaps.com, View from the Recliner's Edge. Be sure to check it out. She has a wonderful column there. And we get to have her on the podcast periodically to share her opinions. We love to have her. Longtime friend. Back to Rebecca Budig for a moment. So we had the recast. Sabine Singh took over the role. She's been it for, 8 or 9 months now?
Oh, yeah. Ever since I started watching, it has been Sabine.
The consensus among most of the people who loved Rebecca Budig was she's a perfectly fine actress. It's just that she's not Greenlee. She'll never be Greenlee.
Right. No, they just couldn't make her fit because the character belonged so fully to Rebecca Budig.
It was
just the embodiment.
Oh, and then the writers did a hatchet job on the character on top of it. So between the two, it was basically a no-win situation for Sabine. And that's one of the reasons why on the top 10 lists, which we're publishing, we've got 10 lists that we're publishing over the course of these next 2 weeks. We'll do it during the week on the weekdays. We named Sabine Singh as our number 10 on the top 10 newcomers list because no one has put up with more crap and had to jump through more hoops than Sabine Singh and has done it with a smile on her face and hasn't complained.
And some of the craziest storyline.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what the writers have put that character through.
No kidding.
I'm so confused. As a new watcher, it's just impossible for me to come up with any hate or love either one for the character because she's just flopping all over the place.
We posted our top 10 list the day before the news broke. It's like I was thinking to myself, I should have did a top 10 list a long time ago.
It was that serendipitous.
Was my, that was my first reaction. But then since that first word broke, stuff has been leaking out on how it was handled. Basically, what happened was while she was fired by around Thanksgiving, supposedly, somewhere in there, supposedly she didn't tell the cast because she didn't want it to influence their acting while she's around, which is, I mean, quite stand-up.
That's very magnanimous of her.
No kidding. But the stuff that's leaking out, and we have it at on the blog, Daytime Confidential. You can click on the All My Children link. We've got all kinds of stuff, the breaking news. We've got this Rebecca Buttig polls. We've got Sabine Singh updates. Basically, stuff is leaking out from close friends or people who are involved in her fan club about the stuff that Brian Franz has did to her. And then I went and discovered that on ABC's website, well, okay, I should back up a moment. I didn't discover it by myself, but one of my close friends pointed it out to me and says, Luke, you've got to use it. So I, as an I, the royal I in terms of Daytime Confidential and those associated with it,
right,
discovered that on ABC.com, they had put The Real Greenlee Returns.
I read that on Daytime Confidential.
And
I was shocked.
Yeah, and it was like, okay, it's one thing for you or I or fans to say one actress is the real character or not. And because we are fans, we're critics. But for the network that is employing the actors to fire Sabine in the way they did, and then the day after news breaks, publish an interview with the headline "The Real Sabine," the real Greenlee returns. Well, the actress is still going to be on the show through almost the entire January.
It seems quite insulting.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel badly for the things that I've read about. You know, Sabine having to work under this kind of stress, and then she's doing this awful stuck in the bomb shelter thing, which has had anytime they have to wear those same clothes and the same dirt smears and everything every day, you know, go into work and get dirty to pick up their scenes where they left off. I have great respect for them doing those long term things. And she's had to do all those scenes under this kind of stress. She's a better actress than we've been giving her credit for.
I think that she's a perfectly fine actress. I am not one. I'm not like a diehard fan of hers like I am Rebecca. She arrived on All My Children about the time that I started watching it. So it's all sort of symbiotic on my part, actually.
Sure.
A little bit scary, if you're quite honest about it.
So fans are like that.
I think that she would have been perfectly fine in another role, possibly on the show. I think that she could have made a good Annie. I think that she could have been brought on as someone else. I think that she, on another soap, she would have been great. It's just that I don't think that she ever really had an honest-to-goodness chance as Greenlee because of what was stacked against her.
I didn't think so either. Absolutely. That's what I was thinking. The deck was stacked against her. And that would be, as you say, it would be like bringing someone else on as Brenda. That would not kill me so much because I could take the Brenda character or leave her, you know, just,
yeah.
But, I know what it would be like if they took, if they tried to recast Laura, for instance.
Oh,
you know, I mean, cause that's how I am with her, you know, I mean that we all agree that just can't be done. And that's the way it is with this and poor Sabine. She just really, I think she has been, doing a really good job under in incredibly bad circumstances now that all this is coming out.
I totally agree. And it's and what's so sad about it is how that this whole controversy is now making Rebecca Buttig look bad because Franz is doing a royal mess up of it, just because
right,
the fact
that... It's not helping her image any, is it?
No, just because the fact that Franz realizes that all my children's ratings are in the toilet, and he's trying to bring Rebecca Buttig back, then we have Eden Regal coming back, supposedly she signed a 3-year contract
Jesse and Angie?
And Jesse and Angie, well, you know what I really honestly think? I think that Brian Franz is running scared at the fact that Thorsten Kay and Alicia Minshew want out, as does, it's been rumored, or he's rumored to be leaving, Jacob Young. And
yes,
that's
been going around for a while now.
A lot have suspected that Levin Rambin will want out here in the near future as well, because she's not feeling that she has any place to grow with
sure,
her characters,
yeah.
Which is why we got Ava, which I love Levin, but Ava just... Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't translate as well as Ava as she does in the more sympathetic role of Lily. We've been talking about that the last couple times we were on, too.
And so I think that what's basically happening is Franz and the executives at All My Children are like, holy crap, what's going to happen when all of a sudden all these people leave? Because I think that, point in case, the Babe recast is nothing really to... Amanda Baker was perfectly fine on Night Shift, but they should have never recast the character of Babe, period.
Well, I hear that a lot, you know, and I don't think that's so much because the actress made her character her own, as it is that the fans never really seem to warm up to Babe.
The only redeeming thing about Babe was Alexa Havens, period.
Well?
She came onto the show, she got dealt a terrible storyline that would make many fans upset with her.
They were going to hate her straight off the bat when she came on as JR's wife.
Exactly. And she grew in the role. People, even though they hate the character, could learn to respect Alexa Havens.
Right.
But once she left, there was no point in recasting that character.
Yeah, I know. I watched, and I was trying to come up with something new to say about All My Children, and there's a few characters that have something to do on the program, and nobody else.
Oh,
half the people that I hear mentioned online, I couldn't recognize them on my screen because they're not on there enough.
Oh, I totally hear that. The people who are missing, the Opals and the Palmers and the Myrtles and even Jackson and
the teens. Someone was telling me that there are several teens who are missing, that it's kind of illogical that they're not on the show anymore. Nobody knows where they went, what happened to them.
Well, did you like Colby? Have you really seen much of Colby?
I actually haven't seen that much. What I have seen of her, I've liked. I know she's was having some teenage angst there with a little bit of a bad boy, but she hasn't had much to do since I started watching either.
Well, and she came on as in a summer storyline, and it looked like there was so much potential, and then they have just dropped it. And her and Sean had a lot of potential.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything from her in weeks. I mean, I know it's busy here during the day, so I watch the show in what we call fits and snatches.
Uh-huh.
My house. It's, you know, that's what you can see over the top of the kids' heads as they're in front of the TV. So I realize that I do miss some of the stuff, but I literally haven't seen enough from Colby to know if I like the character or not.
Oh, well, great actress. I think that she's woefully underused. I'm hoping that they will figure out a way to work her back in, because I'm sorry, Chandler children should not be growing up in the Martin household. Period.
Well, that's true, and from someone new coming in to watch, that was one of the things I was thinking, is why is every child that belongs to Adam living in Tad's house?
Well, it's because...
I mean, I realize... Go ahead.
It's because that Tad and Adam have a terrible, terrible... It's almost like they're Brooke and Stephanie on Bold and the Beautiful. I mean, it's really sort of sad to say that, but...
It's a long-term rivalry.
Yeah. All because of JR, basically.
And, okay, now JR is Adam's son.
Correct.
All but right. I thought so.
He was Dixie's child, and Tad helped to raise JR, and JR thinks of Tad as his second father, and Tad thinks of him as his son, and blah, blah, blah. It's always JR had his father's spirit and his mother's soul or something like that. I don't remember the exact verbiage, but that's the gist of the idea. And
right.
So that's where things stand in the world of All My Children this week. But I'm,
it just seems kind of sad.
I'm very excited, but I'm terrified to find out how they are going to bring Rebecca into these terrible storylines that they have the character of Greenlee in, because that just terrifies me.
Well, I'm looking forward to them doing some kind of a dream sequence. You remember Dallas when...
Wouldn't that be awesome?
He stood out. Because as soon as one of them pulls it off, I'm going to start lobbying for General Hospital to use it that...
Oh, I have been waiting for that day to happen. Like, my dream fantasy on All My Children, if I were to be head writer, would be to take and completely undo everything in All My Children up to the day before Josh found out that he was Erica's son.
Ah. So that's actually a jumping the shark point for you then.
Well, yeah. To me, it's like I would go and I would back it up all the way back to there, which is what, 2 years, 2.5 years now, 3 years?
I'll have to take your word on that.
It's been a while, but I would back it up all the way to that point. I would have it all be a dream sequence on Tad's end, and I would completely clean house and do it that way.
Start from there.
Yep.
Well, see, now I have that same dream about General Hospital, and it backs all the way up to the night Alexis and Sonny had their one-night stand, and Carly drove her car off the cliff. That's where I would back it up to.
I mean, you would want to get rid of Christina.
Well, you know, I think that they could write Christina onto the show. I think everybody that we want on there could be brought on and reintroduced, and we could lose some of the mistakes that we've made in that time. And, yeah, it seems like to me that from that moment until about a year and a half ago, maybe not quite that long, GH was just totally lost, and it's kind of got its feelers out there trying to get back on its feet. I'm optimistic, really optimistic, now that Ron Carlovati has, is that his name, brought One Life to Live, you know, back from the dead.
Oh, the ratings haven't reflected it, but the quality of the show.
I wish they would start showing it. I'm anxiously waiting for the ratings. They should be reflecting this by now. Nielsen has got to be broke. If the ratings for, I'm serious, if the One Life to Live ratings are not spiking and that show is not moving up, then the Nielsen system is broken, because it's phenomenal what they've done with that show in a short period of time.
Well, it all depends on who has one of those boxes is what it all comes down to, which really sucks, because if I had one, things would be a lot different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually lobbied to try to get one at one time. I contacted them.
I don't think they can. You can't. You have to be randomly selected, if I'm not mistaken.
And now I will never be randomly selected because I lobbied to have one.
Oh, is that what they said?
Well, no, not in so many words.
Oh.
But I believe they were, you know, kind of fearing I was stalking there for a while. I'm the perfect person to have a Nielsen box. I watch television constantly. I am a real TV fan, so I'm the kind of person that needs a box, but no, do I have one?
Speaking of General Hospital, what did you think of it this week? What did you think of the fact that Anthony Trevor Lansing is basically pulling Johnny back into the mob war?
Well, you know, I think that it's a little more interesting than I expected it to be. Normally, I can completely fast-forward all the mob things and not miss any of it. But I like the parallels that they're drawing between Johnny Zakara being raised in the mob and Michael, the way he's reacted to the murders, and him coming up being raised in the mob, and Jason's insecurities about having a family with him being a hitman. And I like the way they're tying that all in with Johnny Zakara. So it's actually intrigued me. The first time I've been interested in a mob storyline in a very long time. So I'm optimistic. I'm hoping they can keep that interest for me going. But they've tied it up so nicely with the other things that are going on with Jason's insecurities. And several times I've heard Johnny say, I had no choice. I was born into this. This is what I was raised for. And it's just, I like the way it's wrapping around. And I think that having Trevor try to play Johnny and Sonny off each other, and it doesn't look like either one of them are actually swallowing what he's giving them. I like that because you can see that Sonny's not ready to jump off with both feet onto Johnny because he doesn't trust Trevor. He knows he's being played, and apparently Johnny has enough sense to realize that also. So I think I'm really anticipating the two of them being able to turn the tables on Trevor.
We had a poll up on Daytime Confidential recently, which was basically Lulu versus Logan. Or if we haven't put it up, I'm planning on putting it up, but I'm pretty sure I put it. I put so much content up, it sort of gets blurry after a point.
I hear ya.
Who would you choose, Logan or Johnny for Lulu? If those are your only two choices.
If those are my only two choices, well, right now I would have to say Johnny because I don't want her with Logan at this point. I think Logan's got some growing to do. Now, maybe, depending on how this Strangler episode ends up, Logan's just got some growing he needs to do before I'm willing to accept him with Lulu. And it's not quite, I didn't like him enough for it to capture my interest until we found out for sure he was Scotty's son. Now I have an interest in him and I want him to stay, but he's treated Lulu so badly and some of the other women on the show. I'm just not ready for Lulu and Logan.
Have your thoughts about Jerry changed at all since we last talked to you?
I really can't say they have. I mean, I continuously hear such wonderful things about his portrayer, Sebastian
Roche,
that he's so nice and personable and friendly. So that is affecting how I speak about Jerry Jacks because it's so easy to get the character and the actor mixed up. I don't want people to think that I dislike the actor, but my feelings about the character haven't changed. I'm trying to find more ways to discuss it that is going to make it clear that it's not the actor I have a problem with. But no, I'm not warming up to him very. I'm just not. He killed Alan. I can't get over it.
He did not actually kill Alan.
Well, not with his own hands, but.
Yes, he did. Alan suffered from a heart attack. Now, granted, it was indirectly related to Jerry Jacks, but he did not actually kill him.
Yeah, well, you know, he's at fault for the circumstances that killed Alan.
I will agree with that.
But well, no, I don't like the thought of Alexis with him. She's had nothing but bad choices since Ned.
I don't know. Jasper wasn't that bad.
I liked them together, but they seriously never.
They don't. I love them two together as friends. Mm-hmm. This will go back. I don't know if you ever watched Another World, but Cass and Felicia.
I did watch, yeah.
Much better as friends.
They did have a good friends dynamic. I enjoyed Alexis and Jackson. I always, when they have moments together where they're supporting each other or just touching base, it's very poignant for me because they are really good as exes and as friends. But the romance factor wasn't there.
Well, what do you think of the romance factor on One Life to Live with Natalie, Jared Banks stuff? Because I'm really, really, really wanting Jared Banks to just abandon it all in for the sake of love for Natalie. I just want that to happen so badly, and I just don't see it happening anytime soon.
I might be able to support Jared a little bit more if he would come clean and not go through with posing as her uncle. But I was outraged at the end of Friday's One Life to Live episode. The previews for next week showed him grabbing her and kissing her, you know, kind of like pinning her to a wall and kissing her. And I was just, I think a half an hour later, my face was still frozen in that, oh my God face, you know.
Are you sure that's not McBain? Because they're supposedly going to be having sex here pretty soon. And
I heard that they take comfort in each other's arms. But no, I saw Jared kiss Natalie on the promos, and because she was saying leave me alone, and he grabbed her and kissed her, and I was just like, he's supposed to be her uncle. Apparently, I mean, just minutes before this, she finds supposed proof that that's her uncle, and then he snatches her up and kisses her. I was just like, you know, rubbing my tongue on the carpet to try to get the taste of that out of my mouth.
I want so badly for things to work out for Natalie and Jared. I just really, really do. And they're making it sort of hard, but maybe that's the genius of what they're trying to do. But
well, hopefully
kissing uncle and nieces isn't great.
No, it was kind of, I mean, I know that he's faking being her uncle, so it's not really, you know, grossly disgusting.
Uh-huh.
But the fact that she thinks he's her uncle at this point and he grabbed and kissed her, I was just nauseated by it.
What did you think of the Cole shooting, oh, his name slips me all of a sudden.
Miles,
there we go.
I like the idea of Cole. I'm not really thrilled. I'm not trying to say anything bad about this actor, but I don't think he's quite reached his stride yet. Can I put
okay.
it like that? He's got a little more growing to do, perhaps, as an actor. And in the role, he's comes off very flat. And he didn't really sell me over at that point.
And see, I have to sort of agree. It just seems like he's just doing a lot of shouting.
Yes, and it doesn't seem to be anything more than just shouting. I'm not catching it as from a depth, you know. I'm not getting any angst coming up like from inside of him. It's all kind of on the surface. And at this point, with what he's doing now on the show, it would be very nice if we could have a little bit more depth to what's coming from Cole, because this is a really meaty part that he's in right now.
Oh, most definitely.
And I'm kind of disappointed in it. Not really in him. The story's great. And I want to avoid picking on this young actor because he's improved so much
since
he's been on the show. But yeah, I'm thinking maybe it was a little early to give him this weighty of a storyline. A little early in his career, maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to be nice. And
what I keep having to remind myself with this storyline specifically and the actor is the actor has improved so much.
He has.
In addition to that, it's one of those things where we've seen so many actors grow up on our screens.
Yes.
And who have turned out to be great actors, but it took them a while to take off. And so that's what I keep thinking about him is like, is it possible that he could be one of those type of actors? Because I like him. I think he's talented. I just don't know if he's necessarily up for everything they throw at him, but
he takes
it like a man and he gives it his all. And that's about all you can do when you're in that type of environment.
Yes. He's trying really hard. And I tell you who I was there aggregated, that's my grandson's word, aggravated
uh-huh.
at Star. She was don't dare turn yourself in and then snapping at Langston. And I thought, oh, Lord, if that was a precursor to these two going to start having it out over Cole, I just don't want to go there. I can't see him as that irresistible that Langston and Star would fight over him.
I don't think that they're going to go that direction.
Oh, I hope not.
But I think that they may take and go the direction of Cassie, like they did with Blair versus Cassie and Blair versus what are the other Kramer sisters. I think that that's basically what they're setting them up to be.
Okay. Yeah, another generation of the Kramer girls.
Yep.
Well, and that would be fine. Both of the actresses, I think, are up for that. It struck me that Langston is in a unique position to understand what Cole's going through, and now Cole is the only one in the teenage group who really knows what Langston's going through. So this could be a strong friendship bond, but it could also break up Star and Langston, and then if they wanted to turn it into one of their prerequisite triangles, it would be the easy way out, and I would hate to see it end up like that, because I think it could be so much more than just a teenage triangle for next summer.
Well, but I think that kid that they have as Langston's boyfriend has potential.
Now, Marco, and I was saying in something I was writing just this earlier today, that I'm been disappointed that Marco hasn't been on as much as the other three, because I think that adding his dynamic, that fourth personality in there, is really some of the charm of what's going on with the teenagers.
Well, and in addition to that, I really think that Cole needs a buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he should be left out there all by himself yet.
Well, and I don't think that he should necessarily be getting all of his advice and from John McBain, who,
right,
let's face it, is a little bit McDarky.
Yes, that's true. McDarky works.
Well, we thank you for listening, folks. It has been a wonderful podcast. Please drop by daytimeconfidential.com to comment on this episode. I believe this is going to be, well, I'm not sure. Actually, I'm not going to say. I think it's around 83 to 85, somewhere in there. We'll see what it ends up when everything's said and done. But we do thank you for listening. Be sure to drop by ionsoaps.com and click on The View from the Recliner's Edge, which is Belinda's wonderful column.
Thank you.
Check that out. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long, folks.
See you later.